This episode of How Was Your Run Today was recorded at WGBH Studio in the Boston Public Library.
Located on the finish line of the Boston Marathon in Copley Square.
Brian, there's a rumor going around that you're not 100%. Now, I've been so blinded by my own training, I haven't really noticed any kind of pain coming off of you. So it takes a village, Brian, and a village told me to ask you, what's up with your injury?
Peter, that is the strangest way of asking a question I've ever heard the English language.
How was your injury today?
All right. Apparently it's not that bad. Yes, it was. I had a sort of acute injury. All right, the hip was starting to hurt again. It was getting very frustrating. This was my time to get stronger and to get faster during the time that you were ramping up your marathon training. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I'm going to run shorter miles. I'm going to get stronger and faster. And it was very frustrating when my hip started to hurt.
This is the same injury area from a year and a half ago.
Yeah, from the also post-Millinocket.
Oh, dear.
Remember, that started to ramp up in my last few long runs and then the night before and the day of. But I recovered fairly quickly, and I've been fairly pain-free for quite a while. And then, improbably, coaching my daughter's soccer practice, first one of the year, I did something in the outside of my hip, really threw me for a loop. And then I went for a couple of runs, and they just were garbage, total garbage. I had
it's
to walk.
Not good. And, not no. good.
So I went to see the doctor. He took the x-rays. Any arthritis that I have is not advanced anymore.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And it actually, things looked pretty good in that realm. So we may or may not follow up with an MRI to see if there's any tear in there. But overall, it looks like structurally I'm fine. So it's kind of let pain be your guide. Listen to your body, as we always say. But I have to tell you, it is emotionally, mentally, psychically very difficult to be purposely keeping your mileage down, working on speed, working on strength, and then failing. You're having your body fail you at that point. It's hard. But I feel better now, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you look devastated. It's not pleasant to look over at you at all.
Well, you know, David Willey is trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon.
Moonshot.
And it's tough to watch his success and my failure.
Well, they are linked, I know.
Not even close. Not at all. But he has all the power of Runner's World and everything else behind him. And
do you need from me...
Yes.
...to get hurt and drop out of the marathon?
Absolutely not.
Because I would do that for you.
No,
you mean that much to me.
You are my only connection to greatness at this moment.
All right, then I'm going to keep on going.
I think you should. I think you should go for a full 26.2 miles.
All right. Okay. I guess I will.
So, not to cry on my own petard. That's not a saying, is it?
No, because if you get your petard wet, it will rust. Which might be your problem in the hip area. I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor.
I mean, neither am I, for
no,
sure.
You definitely
maybe
aren't.
I could use a little WD-40 in the hip. That might do it.
Squeak that out.
Squeak it out. But what I'm saying is, as I bring myself back to full health, you, sir, ran a full 21 miles.
Yes, I did.
With apparently half of Boston was out there with you.
There were so many people out this past Saturday. We are now approaching 3 weeks until the marathon. Yeah, that was really all the teams, big long runs, all in that one day.
The charity teams. And the running clubs.
Right? Yeah, the running clubs and the charity teams. And, you know, they hired the police. The BAA hires detail, and they close off streets, and they give you places to run all the way up and down the course. And it was a little chilly and a little rainy, but not too bad. And glad to have done it.
Now, I have a question that I think I know the answer to. But if you were just a casual everyday runner and you were going out for your 3-miler, could you have jumped on the course with all the excitement and everything? This isn't closed down. This isn't a special event, right?
It's not a special event. It has all the sort of earmarks of what a race might look like. you know, some areas have coned off areas and whatnot, and the police detail were holding traffic at certain junctures. But no, in fact, I saw many people who I believe aren't actually running on the course, including, once again, friend of the show, Joe Ramft, who has said he's not running for anything, but I saw him trucking through Newton, so he was doing great. So yeah, anybody can get in on the action.
It's like a little mini marathon.
It is cool. There's definitely a vibe, and it's really between 8 a.m. and not much after noon. I think
right.
That's the window of event.
And how are you feeling physically?
Physically, I'm good. I think I'm strong, and I think mentally I'm almost where I need to be. I think now that we're walking into the taper weeks, we'll see how the mental level stays.
Are you concerned, or do you think you have a little bit of a leg up, so to speak, because you've done this before?
I think it definitely helps from a nerves standpoint and from a what to expect standpoint to have had one under my belt. Yeah, I think that's very good for me.
Right, because I think at this point, when we were doing our first marathon together,
yeah,
we were both saying, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Did I do enough? Like, have I done enough to actually run this race?
Yeah, and I think you always have that in the back of your mind of, well, what is the entire course like? Because invariably,
right,
you don't run the whole course. You either run most of it from the front to the almost end, but not really the last mile. Or you start, like this 21 that I just did, started in Natick. It didn't start at Hopkinton. So there are people on my team for Spalding who have never been to Hopkinton.
Okay.
And I would think that's kind of an important thing to know, that that's really downhill for those first 5 miles, 6 miles, right? But I'm not nervous because I've run the race before. I think the only thing that I'm focusing on that's completely out of my control is what kind of day will it be that day?
Well, I think you should worry most about that and focus on things you have no control over.
Yeah, because that's it.
No, I think that's a terrible idea.
I am consulting a crystal, and I'm trying to make it cloudy and, yeah, and 58 degrees.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah, it'd be nice. No wind.
That would be even great for the part, for the observers.
I think so.
The cheering spectators.
So we'll see. I'm not too. I'm a little.
Do you have your outfit picked out?
I was given my singlet,
okay,
from the team,
yeah,
and now, based on that yellow and blue combination, I now have to build my ensemble,
yeah,
and that's under construction right now.
That is, okay.
There will be photographic evidence of that once it's developed, so that all parties can find me in the blur of the crowd.
I'm sure you'll be tough to find. No.
I'm actually trying to decide in what way HWYRT will appear on my body.
Right.
Because I do want that. Friend of the show, Emily Saul,
yeah,
of the November Project.
Emily Saul of the November Project
ran by me the other way. Now, she clearly saw me on Saturday.
Yeah.
And she shouted at the top of her very, very strong lungs,
yes,
how was your run today?
Nice.
Which is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
So I want to be sure that that is asked of me.
I'm thinking Sharpie down your thighs.
I'm worried about the thighs.
Why is that?
I'm a heavy sweater, and I have a heavy sweater, meaning hair. It's hard to actually discern graphic,
right,
icons or images or lettering, yeah, down the sort of ham hocks that are covered with fur.
I didn't really consider that.
Yeah, no, it's a messy,
okay,
messy batch.
Arm sleeves? HWYRT arm sleeves?
Well, that's interesting. You're assuming I'm, yeah, wearing a long sleeve tech.
Yeah, that's true. That might not be the case.
That's almost 100% not going to be the case.
Oh?
Because 2 years ago, when you and I did the marathon in the dreary rain, I think I got too hot in,
yeah,
long sleeves.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't too cold when I started and waiting in the corral. But, gosh, maybe by mile three I was a little hot,
right,
and heavy. That was a thing I noticed at the,
yeah,
end of 21.
Yeah, if it's any rain, you definitely want to be in as little clothing as,
yeah,
possible.
Yeah. The 21 we just did, which was not heavy rain, it was more like mist and drizzle, but at the end, the bag of clothes that I've stripped off my body, it must have been 20 odd pounds. It was so heavy,
right,
full of liquid. So I don't know if it'll be long sleeves. Maybe it's on the hat, the HWRT. Maybe it's on the back of the singlet. Maybe it's not my name. You know, I'm very mixed emotions about writing my name anywhere on myself.
Because you don't want people screaming at you personally.
I don't mind it if they know me. But if you're a total stranger and you're like, Peter, you got this. But maybe I don't have it. And my friends would know that.
How about at mile 22 when they start yelling, you're almost there?
I want to end them. All of them. They don't know.
It's like, no. If I can't actually see with my own eyes.
Yeah, you don't have
finish.
This. Yeah, let's be clear. You don't have this until you turn from Hereford onto Boylston.
That's when you can see you're almost there.
Then you have it. Because you could even stop right there, take a minute, and stroll on in.
Yeah.
Until you've done that turn, you don't have it.
No.
Come on.
You're not almost there.
You're not almost there.
It might as well be 26 more miles at any point until you've turned onto that final
corner.
Yeah,
I believe that's true.
Yeah, there should be a rule that unless you're standing on Boylston Street as a spectator, you can't say, you're almost there.
You know, speaking of injury, Brian, as we started the show with your soon-to-be-healed injury.
Let's hope.
This is going to be a very different race for me because I'm coming from an injury from this past autumn. I am definitely not at the level that I was 2 years ago when we first did the MAD experiment.
Well, the fitness level, sure. I mean, you had been running consistently for about 6 months.
Yep, and we had done a very successful half.
Mm-hmm.
And we rolled right from the half into the full 18-odd week training deal for Boston. And we were crushing miles left, right, and center.
Right.
And
now, this for you is really a welcome back.
So welcome back.
Welcome back
to
the
Boston
Marathon.
That's exactly right. And if it's even kind of hot, I'm probably going to do a 7-hour marathon because I'm going to stop. I'm going to want to talk to you. You're going to conduct an interview with me on the top of heartbreak.
Yeah. We may share a meal.
You might have a golf cart ready for me.
No, you can't race in a golf cart here.
But no, anything under 5 hours, I'd be very happy with.
Good.
And that's really, and that's not even the goal. It's just the goal is to have a nice time and to see the race for a change.
I can tell you this, next week we will be discussing your goals at length.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I want you to be prepared. That's your homework for this week.
All right.
Develop your goals, your sub-goals.
My sub-goals.
Yeah.
Can I get a hug from Heisler on Marathon Day? Is he going to be around?
I'm not his representative, so I don't know.
Putting it out there. I'd like a hug from him. Hug from Heisler. Hugs from Heisler. Now on HWIRT.
You know, Peter, with 3 weeks to go, I think it's important for me to ask you a very specific question.
I'm here for you. Go ahead. The thing to remember about the Clyde Army Countdown music is that composer maestro Jeff Cronenberg does that entirely by himself, alone in a quiet little room. He plays all the instruments, and he's the vocalist. And I think we're really underselling the quality of his vocals. He's also the horse sound.
Week three.
He's really good.
It's good. I like that each week there's almost like a different pop rock song happening
within
there.
It. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'd like to hear this one develop fully into like a 3-minute top 40 hit.
Yeah. I would definitely want that as a single that I could have on a cassette.
Single?
A maxi cassette.
Yeah.
Come on, break.
So, Peter.
Hello.
How much do you weigh?
I'm back up.
Oh, boy.
I'm a puff pastry of 219. I gained 2.
Well, you know why?
Well, I think it's the salt.
Well, I think it's because you running so much, you eat a lot. I mean, that's what happens in the marathon training.
I want to say I dipped down right after the 21, and then there might have been a lot of cheese. Yeah, I'm good. I got to be careful.
Your body is craving calories.
I know it is, and that's terrific, but it would be great if maybe I didn't gain much more now. I'd like to lose again in the next 3 weeks. You have forecasted that that won't happen, that I'm sort of what I am.
I think that might be true.
Well, so we'll just keep we'll this little game going. One last thing before we move on. My mom can't stand the Clyde Army countdown music. Can't stand it. Now, she's not the audience, and she knows that. But, yeah, she's not interested in any of this, and she's not looking forward to two more weeks of it after this. So I just wanted to put that out there, that because I know there's a lot of fans of the music, but I wanted to sort of show the other side of things. She loves the original Clyde Army Sting. She loves that. Can we play that for her?
Sure. Clyde Army.
Yeah, she's really happy with just that. I think it might be the loud guitar.
Well, yeah.
Or Jeff.
You know, to take full credit,
yeah,
I did create the Clyde Army.
And she
Army
knows
Sting,
that.
Original. She knows, so that's
she knows
why.
That, and that's what that is.
Yeah. And I'm an absolutely horrible guitar player. It's not even fair to call me a guitar player. I can hold a guitar.
Right.
And imitate the motions of playing the guitar. But
right.
Jeff Kronenberg is actually
a full-fledged musician. He can
actual musician.
He can actually create music, yeah, whereas you can't.
No, I'm just a drummer.
You can just barely sight line read.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, kind of.
Sight read. Can you sight read?
A little drum notation, but really, that's not a thing.
It's more beats?
It's
just sticks banging
things?
2 and 4
is about it. That's all.
That's high quality.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That's all you need.
You'll notice I'm not creating full-fledged music out of my studio, like Jeff is.
Brian, let's now go, because we're late. We got to get going.
For a very important date.
We are. We're going to have a brother and sister team, actually, as our guests.
Tim and Eileen.
Tim and Eileen. Eileen Langley and Tim Morris, brother and sister, both running on the Spalding Race for Rehab team. This will be Tim's second race. He's in a wheelchair from a car accident that happened about a decade ago. And he's been working with Spalding on some of their technology. And his sister, Eileen, new to the marathon world of about 18 months ago, has already run 3 marathons. You're going to hear all about that. But this will be her first Boston. They're running together, raising money for Spalding.
They're working together sort of as a dual charity team.
Yes, and they have quite a fiscal mountain to climb, but they're doing quite well, and we'll include their information in the show notes.
All their charity donation information will be in the show notes.
So let's go visit with them now. Thank you so much for coming out today. Tell us a little bit about how you got to be on the Spalding team. What was that? How did that evolve? Who was first?
I was first. Okay. I ran in last year, 2016, with the team. I was had the opportunity to be given a slot to the marathon, and they asked me to come on board. Me and Pat Doak. Doak and I were the first two athletes in chairs for the longest time, and I think it's been like 20 years since somebody ran for the Spalding team as a wheelchair athlete. Asked to come on board, ran the marathon. I took my time with the marathon last year because I wanted to enjoy the experience, so I went really slow, and then had the support of my family there, which was amazing. At the finish line, a few of them were able to come to the Spalding after party, and I think that's where the magic happened for Eileen.
Well, yeah, the feeling of the whole team at the Mandarin was amazing. But for me, it goes back a little bit further than that. When Tim had his accident and was at Mass General, a lot of the families were going to Spalding.
Yeah.
Tim never went there then, but then has since had the opportunity to work with Spalding and walk in an exoskeleton and just getting to see the amazing things done at Spalding. Really, anything I can do to help support that and help them to, you know, get money in there to help them continue what they do.
Yeah.
My heart is in doing that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I want other people to have the amazing opportunities that Tim has had there.
We have a crier on our hands, so
yes. Oh, she's going to go.
Is she going to
phrase your questions?
It's
going to
happen. Yeah. Okay. That's. Do you want to do it early or do you want to do it late?
I'll probably do it both.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, do it both times. It's fine. I'm out of the two of us, I'm definitely the crier. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, I've definitely, yeah. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Tim, last year was your first marathon.
Yes.
And
yes.
This year coming in a scant 5 weeks?
Now it's four.
This will be the first that you're running together?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We haven't run together in, what, 10 or 12 years. I mean, the last race we ran together was a little, you know, 5K,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
up in New Hampshire. Yeah, this is my second Boston. Marine Corps in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Eileen, is this your first Boston or your first marathon?
My first Boston. This will be my fourth marathon.
Okay. When did you start running marathons?
About a year and a half ago. And
wait a minute.
Whoa.
We have to stop.
Hold on. That's intense.
You started running marathons a year and a half ago, and this is going to be your fourth?
Yeah. So once
what?
I started, it was like,
happen?
It was, once I got the bug, it was like, okay, fall. Okay, now I need one for spring. Now I need one for fall.
Holy
now I need one for spring.
Mackerel.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
A runner before that?
I mean,
how does this happen?
So I started with 5Ks, mm-hmm. and that was really all I thought I had in me. And then, you know, thanks to Tim, he was like, Eileen, you got to stop limiting yourself. So then I went on
Zing.
To half marathons.
Yeah.
And I really thought, okay, that's enough for me. And then Tim was like, you really have to stop putting limitations on yourselves. So then I thought, okay, maybe I'll try a marathon, but I'm going to find one that has a really expansive time to finish.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I found one with a 6-hour time limit. That was my first one in Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And I squeaked in under the 6-hour time limit.
That's a tough race, I've heard. Is that a challenge, terrain-wise?
Well, it was pretty. So when I Googled, okay, a fall marathon with a time limit, and I Googled flat.
Okay.
That was my requirement, flat.
Okay.
And it was flat.
Okay.
But it's very very solitary.
Oh, okay.
I spent a lot of it going, I hope I'm still on the right race course.
Right.
Because I'm not seeing anybody.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it was tough that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what made you say, okay, I'm going to do another one?
Crossing and realizing, okay, I can actually,
I did that. Yeah.
And now I want to do it again, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
What was the next one?
So then I did the Gate City Marathon in Nashua.
Gate City, okay.
Nashua, New Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of funny because you run these loops, four different loops through that keep coming through the center of Nashua, New Hampshire.
It's like a clover.
It is like a clover. Cool. So that one was kind of funny. And then
talk
in the
about
fall,
solitude. It's just you and
yep.
Nashua.
Exactly.
Nashua's
except
sites.
For when you run through the middle because then there it's also a relay. So
okay.
Then you're kind of cursing the relay runners because you're like, ah, you ran 5 miles and now you're done. And
right.
I have to keep
yeah.
running. And, you know. And then in the fall, I ran the New York City Marathon. So that was a completely different
oh my goodness.
Experience because it was
you
like,
weren't alone there?
Never alone. I was like, ooh, I get to run like this the whole time.
Yes, such a different size race,
such
right?
Such a different size race.
Well, yes.
You know, I've got a marathon that you may be interested in. If you don't have anything else going on in the beginning of December this year coming up. Millinocket, Maine Marathon.
And it's free.
That's the big thing.
It's
the whole idea is just
because the whole thing is go
spend
up,
money.
Spend money, encourage people to know what the town is, you know, what the history of it is, and why it's important to keep the town alive. Mm-hmm. And
so the reason it came up, well, we ask all of our guests, we try to trap them into promising.
Into promising
they'll,
come they'll
up and go.
And we've got a lot
race.
To go.
But if you're running all these races in New Hampshire. I mean, it's just up the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
There you go.
Yeah, totally.
That's wild card for me. You know, you don't know what the weather's going to be like.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, what was it like? Last year it got a little warm.
Last year was, well, for the guys in chairs,
mm-hmm.
I think the warmer the better. I always make jokes that the more oppressive, the better for me.
Yeah.
It makes running so much easier
mm-hmm. yeah.
in a chair.
We did the marathon 2 years ago, and that was that really windy and wet one.
Right.
And I think that was bad for everybody.
Right.
Well,
the
training was tough with the streets, and how do you deal with that? How do you get all of your miles in when you have snow and ice on
yeah,
the road?
Yeah, that's it's tough. There's only a handful of guys around here that run in chairs. So we do you know, traveling. Like last week, I went down to Newport, Rhode Island, to meet with another guy running for Spalding. But yeah, when the snow builds up and it gets plowed, the streets get more narrow. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time looking over your shoulder.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, a little dangerous sometimes, but.
So you'll go with other wheelchair runners and in search of dry pavement in other places?
Yeah, it's tough. Nobody's super close to me. Yeah. You know, so it's at least an hour ride.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll tend to spend a lot of time out in, well, Bedford, Arlington, Lexington at the Minuteman Bikeway.
Yep.
Okay. Going back and forth, but there's a lot of stops in there, and but at least that, you know, that's super safe. You don't have to worry about much of anything, and then. Up in New Hampshire, there's some, you know, relatively clean, wide roads that, mm-hmm. that you do what you can do. But this year, especially, the winds have been biting.
Yes,
and, you know, it's just it's killer. It's tough when you can't feel your hands and you're using your hands all the way. Yeah.
Have you thought about other races, or have you considered other courses other than Boston for the marathon?
Sure. Yeah. Depths. One of my goals is to do all the service marathons.
Okay.
A little debt of gratitude. I don't know. Just doing, you know, what I can, and I just think that would be cool. Plus, I want to do. I'd love to do. You know, a lot of the majors are in, you know, big cities.
Right.
Yeah.
So destination marathons are in your future.
Well, yeah. We'll see what the wallet says, but.
Yeah, it's hard. No, it is. Yeah, it's very hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
That's even just being in the charity team. For Spalding, like, there's a financial commitment on yourself too, just because there's the entry fee, and then there's the stress about fundraising.
Yeah.
So to travel somewhere to do a very similar thing, to add cost to that, and what do you guys do? Do you drive in that morning to come to Boston, or?
So we meet at a hotel, and then we get bussed out to the start line.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for us, it's actually, I mean, your day starts at 3 in the morning.
You know?
Yeah.
So
no, it's awful.
It's like your day doesn't really end from the day before, you know?
Yeah.
But transportation is a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You know, you get bussed right in.
Yep.
And you're right there, you're in a gym getting ready, and there's no hanging out outside in the cold like, you know, some of y'all have to do, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, we're pampered.
Now, do you follow a very similar 16 or 18 week schedule the way a standard runner would, or do you augment it with other cross training things? Or
yeah, right. So I do triathlon too. So there's a lot of, I mean, time is just is tough to. I wasn't a before my injury. I wasn't a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't bike.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, I didn't run for fun. I didn't run for sport.
Yeah.
Right along a basketball court.
But, okay.
But I did none of them beforehand, so it's like learning everything new after the fact.
Yeah.
So obviously not very good at any of them, you know? and just so doing it, figuring out, like, you know, coming into Boston last year and not really spending a whole lot of time out even around guys that ran in chairs, I didn't know what I didn't know. So it's like, it's such a, you know, a rad learning experience, and seeing how poor my form is, and, you know, and like, you know, I'm using 20-year-old equipment, and just, you know, learning from your mistakes and then the experience and go from there. So yeah, I mean, when, you know, I just try to make it work. So the training schedule, it can be similar, but I don't know, like we're able to push more miles more often. Like I have buddies that can sustain like a 70.3 a half Ironman like 2 weeks in a row, you know, if they have to.
Wow.
Right. So.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just conditioned to do a few more miles more frequently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, which was. A lot of people have said to me, or Peter, I'm sure you've heard this, which is, oh, you ran a marathon, so you know all about running, or you know all about
it.
No, I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I still don't.
I mean, part of the reason for this podcast was us trying to figure out what the heck we were doing and learn from each other. So that's a really good point. Eileen, now that you are an expert, having run We're about to run four.
Now that you're seasoned.
Yeah, now that, but so you're like cramming. You're doing like years worth of training and learning. What are some of the biggest things you've learned in the last year and a half of becoming a marathoner?
I think I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah.
I mean, really, and I what I've learned is listen to other runners and keep reading and like, I mean, really, I was at a Spalding team meeting and Amanda said, hey, sweet potato is a great source of fuel for your long run. And I was like, oh, I wish I knew that.
Right. Three marathons ago.
Yeah. And I just started that, you know, like, exactly. Yeah. I've been doing that for the last three long runs. And I was like, this is brilliant.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
right.
I guess what I'm learning is always listen, you know, mm-hmm. and keep trying new things. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why Runner's World has a magazine out every month. There's always more nutritional information. There's always other stretches. There's always other ways
exactly.
of approaching a training cycle.
Yeah, the foam rolling and
everything.
You know,
yeah,
and the online groups.
Everything.
There's always somebody who has a great tip or something to share that it's like, oh, why didn't I think of that?
Right.
Oh, I wish I knew that before.
Yeah.
How is your training going this cycle?
It feels pretty great.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to say until you get out there on that day, you know, and I'm terrified of Heartbreak Hill, but one way or the other, I'm going to get up it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you come into town and train on the course at all?
I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, it's tricky with schedule and, you know, my kid's schedule.
Absolutely. No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And you live in Southern New Hampshire.
I live in Southern New Hampshire.
And Tim, you're here in Boston
no,
area?
No, I'm Southern New Hampshire.
Oh, you
now,
are?
Right now as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you doing the 21?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get down to do that with the team. I'd okay. love to, but I'm
Brian,
not sure
we have our 21 miler team run.
Yeah.
Probably the weekend that this show is actually live, so
all right.
We'll see if we've done it. It's behind us, guys.
Yeah, no, how was it?
Oh, it felt great.
How was
the weather? No, it was perfect. That is my big concern. Weather's always my biggest concern, almost beyond how I'm feeling, because it has such a huge influence on how it will unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for the race, but for the training, too.
Well, the training for this race, it's so, you know, erratic. And then the race day, it could be
anything.
Right.
It could
it's
be
It's definitely
anything.
Not going to be like it was for most of your training runs. That's
yeah,
the only
exactly.
thing you know.
Whatever you're
right.
prepped for,
if
it's not going to be
raining,
that.
If it's 40 and raining, or if it's 85 and sunny, you won't have experienced
right.
that in
right.
January, February, or March.
So funny. Well, this year, too. I mean, this year has just been so wild where we have those 70 degree days
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and in February
then, and then we get a foot and a half of snow a week later.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then our team runs were canceled
yeah.
because
yeah.
it was too dramatically cold. It was
right.
like it's
yeah.
nuts.
Right.
It's crazy.
So what will the day you'll start in a different wave. So will you guys
yeah.
be together at the start for the first 5 hours that we're sitting around waiting?
I'll be done before you guys even start.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't say
He'll
that.
Be done for
don't
hours.
Say
yeah.
come on, don't say
so
that.
So I'll have
you'll be at the Mandarin.
Yeah, I'll have one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah, you'll be hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is
you'll
crazy.
You'll be post-massage. You'll have had a meal.
I'll be clean.
You'll probably
yeah, you'll be warm and dry
yeah.
or
might
whatever.
Be opening your second beer.
Yeah.
And Eileen will hear the gun go off.
Yeah, and our family will be like, run faster, Eileen. We've been here for hours and hours.
Oh, my goodness. How has the fundraising gone?
We have been extremely fortunate
yeah.
that we've had some amazing people that have been helping us out, because what we didn't consider was, hey, we're drawing from the same well of people.
Yes, right.
So I didn't know this. You're both running as fundraising
mm-hmm.
runners? Okay, so you both
yeah.
have your goal that you're hitting.
Right, well, we're raising together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So $12,000 together.
All right, that's steep.
That is steep.
So it was pretty daunting.
Yeah,
but
it's tough. Like you said, we've been very fortunate to have
yeah.
some great people around us, behind us, helping us out.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, some people involved in PTA who are kind of, you know,
yeah.
Semi-professional fundraisers,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
Amateur fundraisers that have aided you know our cause, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
It's so impressive. And I saw the clip from the local news. What was that? That was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It was amazing. Yeah. So I'm a second grade teacher, and my class kind of secretly, which is amazing, because for 7 and 8 year olds to keep
any secret
how,
like,
yeah.
for any length of time
is astounding. But yeah, they they raised $275 for our...
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, seriously.
Did having the local news piece go the way it went, did that help? Did that get the word out for you?
It did. It brought in, you know, a few couple hundred dollars.
That's great.
So, yeah. I mean, anything helps, right?
It really does.
Right. Yeah. I think the general awareness, too, I think it helped when we went other places.
Yeah.
Looking for raffle items.
Yep. For,
like, we're doing a Chunky's movie night this coming Tuesday.
Oh,
and,
fun.
Like, when we went in for raffle items, I think it helped when people were like, oh, we saw that story.
Yeah, we saw you, yeah.
So, yeah, sure, we'd be happy to donate something. And that was really helpful, too.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, the local celebrity when...
Oh, geez.
You know, people like, hey, I saw you on the news.
Yeah, it's
like,
the weirdest thing.
Here, I'll sign my shoe, give to you. No,
the thing that would freak me out about it is, well, now I have to run. Like, I was going to anyway.
Yeah.
But now there's been a news piece about it. I guess I really have to.
Yeah.
People are going to be wanting to know how I did.
Yeah. I'm hesitant on providing my goal time.
Yes.
Because Heartbreak Hill kicked my butt.
I was going to ask.
We totally respect that.
I was going to ask, what did you learn from the course that you want to think about applying to this second round?
Got to get my butt in gear.
Yeah.
A little more. No, last year, it was more mechanics than anything.
Yes.
I was very much arms only last year.
Yes.
And, you know, the little arms can only last for so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So changing my stroke, really, I kind of watched a lot of tape. I went on YouTube and I watched, but you don't get the perspective of somebody in a chair. You get, get a runner, but kind of studying the course and then figuring out nutrition and hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I had some mishaps, equipment mishaps.
Yep.
Had a water leak, so I was bone dry by like mile 10.
I was
like, okay, I didn't stop because it was leaking anyway, so it wasn't gonna last.
Yeah.
So you just learn how to do it better,
right?
Learn to be better.
So you mentioned stroke, so in terms of that, what are your what have you changed in your approach as you're going? Are you using, is it back muscles more? Is it core? Is it a different cadence?
Yeah, so I was very much like resting down on my knees the entire time last year.
Okay.
So you fold up. It's a lot of pressure on your diaphragm. It makes breathing more difficult.
Right.
By the time I finished last year, I was cooked. I was just physically cooked. And raising your knees up a little bit, dropping your butt, keep you a little more upright.
Okay, you can breathe more air in. Sure.
Exactly. Figuring out how to... So I'm a T4 spinal cord injury, which is chest level.
Yeah.
But using the function that I do have, I mean, you got to adapt, you got to adjust, like figure it out for yourself, what works for you, because anybody can give you... their advice or perspective, but even guys in chairs, almost everybody's different.
Yeah.
So you take what they're saying, but then adjust it and apply where it fits in for yourself.
And the other part is your chair. Did you upgrade your chair this year?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Fortunately, like a month ago, I
oh wow,
I got a new chair, so it's just getting my butt in the seat and just getting the miles in it. Updated my chair, got some new wheels, which I've already learned to get up hills a little bit easier.
Okay.
My time drastically, I don't know if you had the tracker last year, but I was doing pretty well. And then Heartbreak Hill, it's like I went from like a 4-something mile to like a 9-10 minute mile.
Right.
And I just
You were just going through sand, basically.
Oh, it's brutal.
Once you
it's
got
brutal.
There. Yeah.
People could moonwalk backwards uphill.
I'm listening to Taco and that sounds pretty good to me.
I'll take that time. I will take that.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me. Yeah. Now do either of you use a coach?
I have a tri-coach, but for running I listen, it's listening to we're fortunate in this area. There are only a handful of guys in chairs that run.
Yeah.
But one of them is the current Ironman world champion. Yeah. Other ones are Ironman qualifiers. They're all like sub-2-hour marathoners, which is ultimately the goal, so you don't have to. So you can't qualify for the next year. So I just, those are my coaches. My buddies are my coaches because they've been there, done that, and they're at a place that I'm trying to get to. So you got to humble yourself and just listen to them and take it all in.
It's amazing. Do you have any personal goals for yourself? You don't have to say what they are, but is it just take it on?
Take it on.
Yeah.
I just want to continue to improve my time.
Yep. And have you seen that happening over the almost 2 years now that you've been doing it?
I saw it in my first two.
Yeah.
Like quite dramatically from my first to my second.
Yeah.
And then I hit some knee problems in New York. And plus, like, it was totally a different experience going from being able to run in my own space to running that tight field.
There's hundreds of other people going the exact same pace as
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 So I didn't quite hit what I wanted to hit in New York.
And what's on the calendar? I know, because I'm not running Boston,
easy.
What's on the calendar?
Yeah, it's so easy for you to say it.
I have nothing to do between now and then, but for you guys, what are, do you have other races or plans for the rest of the spring and the summer?
Well, we're both planning to enter the Marine Corps Marathon Lottery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Good luck with that.
So that's October.
That's
great.
October.
Right.
Yeah.
3 weeks. Two or 3 weeks after Boston, I'm doing the Cape Cod Ragnar, 209 miles. It's a team of 12 people, but it's 209 miles, 24-hour race, raising money for another charity there. Okay. You know, I'm like, guys, I'm tapped.
Right.
You know, and you're going to have to handle that. Right. But my fiance and I are on the team doing that, and it's going to be in our van, running 209 miles. 3 weeks after the marathon, and then I have planned 2 70.3s for later in the summer.
Okay.
And then hopefully Marine Corps.
Do you have a try on the calendar coming up?
Yeah, the 2 70.3s that are half Ironmans, Old Orchard in Maine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the Pumpkin Man, also in Maine. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Right. Yeah, that's August, September.
Wow. And so then Maine. You're busy.
It's
schedule.
Yeah, it's cute to say that, but it's like just trying to, you know, keep the lights on and keep my goldfish I don't own fed and you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's big time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we maybe can squeeze in Millinocket at the end at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
That's the icing.
Like
that would be the icing.
Might be frozen icing on an ice cream cake.
Won't
be as cold as you.
We're going to forego my CrowdRise link in the show notes of this episode, and we'll go with yours. Are you guys close now?
We're getting there.
Yeah, it's,
we are getting there.
We're getting there.
It's an added stress to an already very stressful time, right? Because we really have to get ready.
Yeah. We've been fortunate with the help of, you know, this fundraising team.
Yeah.
And, and then also getting, like, the big corporate sponsor, Sullivan Tire, has always been...
Yep.
We are family to them.
Yeah.
Since my injury, they've always been right there for me, treating me like, you know, a son. And they're going to be on the Spalding team singlet this year because they, you know, gave enough to earn that sponsorship.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, how did that relationship come about?
Our father has worked in Sullivan for about 30 years. When I flipped my Jeep, he was out in Chicago for a business trip, and you know he flew back that night. He was a wreck. Didn't know if I was gonna make it through the night. And you know, fortunately, did. And anyways, since that time, they've always been right there for me. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul Sullivan. You see him on all the Sullivan Tire and Red Sox commercials. And they've helped me out so much in terms of recovery and helping me, you know, figuratively get back on my feet, you know.
Yeah.
So pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Where are they based out of originally?
Norwell.
Okay.
Is the home office.
Okay.
So going towards the Cape, so sure.
And as a team, how have you found Spalding to be in general as a support network?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
like, I just have to say, it's my first time on a team, and I don't want to speak for you. I know you were part of the team last year, but I was overwhelmed by, like, getting to be part of this team, and they're like, oh, and you have access to this resource and this resource. Mm-hmm. And
they're so good.
It felt like Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
And you get one, and you get one. It was just like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, they're so generous with their support.
The support network. Yep. And everyone is just so kind and caring. It's
and even something as simple as the seminar nights that are Facebook Live, because I can't always get there.
Right. I love that.
That's huge. And they've been terrific.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah.
Love it. Love running for Smalling. You know? It means so much on so many different levels.
On so many,
you know, particularly to us, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. Well, I'll try to find you at the Mandarin whenever I finish. Who knows when that'll be. But
do you have a goal?
I honestly don't, because I'm coming off of an injury where I didn't run for about a little over 3 months just before I started training. And
Peter's really coming, going from zero
pretty
to 26.
Much from zero. Yeah. So I just want to have a good race. I want it to be good weather if possible.
And
feel good. And the thing about doing it the first time was I didn't really acknowledge the race. I was sort of like, I want to do this. And I didn't see the race.
Well, and to be honest, I think both of us said the challenge was to run a marathon, and it was going to be one and done. We did it. We ran the hometown marathon. It was Boston. It was fantastic. That was it. And so it was really hard, and we did it. And I think now you're going to run it again. I'll probably run it someday again and do it differently. Do it to enjoy it.
I think so. And if it's not raining, I'll be psyched. And if it's not super windy, I'll be psyched.
Headwind.
So we'll see.
So do you guys still put in a lot of miles by yourself? You know, we find this, even though we run a lot together and you know, we have networks of friends and other runners and teams, you still wind up, we have found, you put in a lot of the miles on your own. Do you find that true for yourselves?
I think individually, we both run the majority of, you know, 90%, 95% of all our miles
solo.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So it's just you and the 6 inches between your head, which can be scary sometimes. But
yeah, it's always been that way for me, though. It's my regrouping time.
Meditation time.
It's my meditation. It's my therapy. That's what running's always been for me.
Yeah. Do you have a time of day that you prefer to run?
I prefer to run in the morning after I've had a chance to wake up. But
you have to get to school. Come on. That's crazy.
It's only in the summertime.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the light's not there. Yeah.
Right. So that's the only time that ever happens.
And
so,
are you a music listener or do you go?
Absolutely.
Oh, you do.
I do. Yes.
Do you ever listen to podcasts while you run?
Yeah. Do you ever pop a?
I might now.
Pop a running comedy type podcast into your ears.
Yeah. That might be happening.
And Tim, do you do music or do you not because of safety? No.
Yeah. Well, I don't do it just because triathlon. Mm-hmm. You can't. So. Yeah. I try not to.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'll throw music on my phone and tuck it behind me or something. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to be alert. And,
yeah.
So Tim, I have a question out of total ignorance, probably because I've never thought about it. Is there a treadmill equivalent for being in the chair?
Yeah.
Is there a way to train indoors?
Yeah, there are certainly rollers. Okay. Right. So it's just like it's a big drum wheel that you set your chair up, kind of lock down the front wheel, and get the chair on the drum, and I guess you can mimic elevation, the incline, by where your wheel sits on the drum, right? So you can.
Oh, so are you're balancing kind of the whole time? Is it are you free on top of the drum?
Yes, but your weight is kind of holding it down because the front wheel is, you have that kind of locked in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But unlike a treadmill, it's not coming at you. You do all the work.
Yeah, you make the wheel spin. Holy it's kind of like a mouse wheel.
Does it feel similar to being on the road or no, is it harder?
It's harder.
Yeah.
Right. So it's harder to really just to spend more than like 7-10 miles on the drum before you're just like, oh my gosh,
why am I here?
You know, I've been staring at the same like wood panel or you know carpet lint.
Yeah.
Spot
the
on the
whole
wall.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've done the impossible, which is we've been here and we've closed the library down.
I didn't know the library closed.
I didn't even know it closed. I thought it was open till like 7. but it seems to have, because I saw people come to the doors and they were locked. It's fascinating. And it's much quieter now.
Yeah, it's much quieter.
This is way, we should always do a radio show here.
Have you both put in your miles today, I suppose?
Yes, how was your run today?
How was your run today?
I like it. After you.
My run today was excellent, thank you. How was your run today?
Yeah, inspired. Yeah, no, it was good. Actually, all the runs lately have just been super, super inspired runs, you know?
Yeah.
Just because so many people have, you know...
It's moving. It's so moving.
You know, give money that may be tough to come by, but they do it for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you... It's like you owe it to them, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Because they... Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, fueled by gratitude, definitely, of all the support and the people who have gone way above and beyond what you ever would have anticipated or asked.
Yeah, I mean, in general, like, you watch the news and try not to watch it, you know, all that much, but, you know, because you hear all about the bad stuff, but in general, people are amazing.
People are amazing. And when they give and then they leave a comment or they send you a note, some of the stuff I've gotten has just been so powerful and humbling and just, you do feel like you owe it to all of it, to them, for as much as the money matters, and it does, the thought that they would stop, doing what they were doing, take time, give money, say something to you, and think about the cause that this thing is for.
Yeah.
And that's, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's definitely... it's a blessing to be able to go do it, I think, in some ways. Like, it's as stressful as it may be to do it, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Eileen, fueled by gratitude. I love that one. Is that a mantra you use, or do either of you have running mantras while you're out there?
I mean, that's what I think about. That's, I kind of focus on, you know, if my legs are tired, I just stop, and I don't think about what doesn't feel good. I try to focus on Look at all of the amazing things about this, and that's what I do focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd get cheesy, but it's like, you know, it...
You can't get cheesier than Peter and I.
Yeah,
No, honestly, I live by, like, if you want something, you know, go get it. Like, don't hold yourself back. Your perceived limitations, they're set by you. You know, just being perceived limitations for yourself, you know, your own glass ceiling. And, you know, it just, if you want something,
go do it.
Do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
If you had, you know, how bad do you want it? Just wrap your head around the challenge and go get it. Right.
Awesome. Cool. Tim, tell me a little bit about this monster watch you have on your wrist.
It is. It does probably so much more than...
it's half the size of my phone.
Taking a picture of it. Hold on.
Yeah. It's my Garmin. Pretty spectacular. It's a great triathlon watch. You know, it can obviously do. It got the pedometer. It'll count your miles, your stroke. But you get in the water, it'll count your stroke rate, and you know, it'll count laps for you because.
Okay.
Like, being on a treadmill is tough.
Yeah.
Doing laps in a 25-yard pool is like, it's like, oh,
you
my
lose
gosh.
Count fast, I would think.
Oh, yeah, after, like, two.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, wait, is this three or four?
Yeah. How many more?
Yeah.
86?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
so it's pretty spectacular. It tells me that I gotta get moving.
Okay.
You know?
You're getting real-time feedback from it. Of course, if you're swimming, you need it, right?
Yeah.
For your laps. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can tell by the scratches and it's tough as heck.
Yeah, it's been used.
You've bashed it pretty good, and it's still running.
Gets its use.
That's awesome.
It's been good. Yeah, it went through Boston with me last year, and it said, hurry up.
You still on these hills?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Eileen, do you feel the Ironman pull or the ultra marathon pull?
Oh, I see a big smile coming.
Why are you smiling?
Because we did talk about that.
Yeah.
We did talk about that. And I've learned, especially when Tim is involved and his voice is creeping in the back of my head, to never say never.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's a good attitude.
I will never say never.
Yeah. And I will never forget this conversation.
And it's recorded, and many yes. people will hear it. Yeah. So
perfect.
That's going to be out there.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Enjoy that. No, because I verbal to this one and to some other people that when I turn 50, I would do an ultra.
Yeah.
Awesome. So by the time you turn 50.
No, I said at 50. Oh. I said at 50. Stop.
And then he tried to weasel out of it, and he said, "Is 26.4 an ultra?"
And technically, yes.
If you keep jogging past the medical tent at the yeah. end of the race.
No, but in my mind, I see it as a 50 miler as a minimum. Yeah, for me. And we'll see where
awesome.
We go. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming down, and
thank you so much
good luck with
us.
The rest of your training and your fundraising. And I will definitely see both of you on the big day.
Look forward to it.
And please save me room at the Mandarin.
Right.
And
clear the massage table.
I actually will just need a place to lie down. I just, yeah. that's what I like to do. And maybe eat something.
Peter, you're already thinking about your post-marathon meal, aren't you?
I definitely am thinking about the kinds of foods that will be available to me. I'm very interested to see what the Mandarin is all about, where we end up at the end for our team.
You know, it's funny. You're going to see so many people. You're going to see familiar faces. You're going to see Tim and Eileen there. You're going to see Chris Carter, Dr. Chris Carter, and probably other folks that you know from
I saw,
the show.
Speaking of Dr. Chris Carter, not to interrupt you, but I saw him on the Mile 21 race that we just did, the long run.
Did he give you any good advice as you
Not really.
Ran
I said to
him,
Dr. Carter, do you want to hop in on this? And he said, no, I don't like to run in the rain now. And that was his big thing. He doesn't do that anymore.
Well, that's fine.
No, it was good to see him. And yeah, I'll see everybody that day. It's going to be an amazing day and an amazing weekend here in Boston. So we're looking forward to all of that. And a huge thank you to Tim and Eileen for coming over and chatting with us.
Who left other family members and loved ones running amok on Newbury Street.
Yes.
Probably spending
far too much money.
Far too much money. So they had to hurry off and get them and gather up the people that they had come with.
Yes, and we'll include, again, their Spalding Race for Rehab, CrowdRise URL will be in the show notes, and we'll also put those on the social medias if you would like to help with their fundraising.
Hey, Peter, I needed to tell you something.
What did I do?
You were interviewed on another podcast with me.
Yeah, together for the first time, as yeah. always.
The Keep Moving Forward podcast.
With Katie Galley.
That's the one.
Yeah, it just went live this week, and we should all go listen to it because it's awesome.
I hope I said something good. I don't remember.
I'm worried we were a little too serious on it, actually.
We weren't funny?
There was funniness-ish things to it.
Funny
but,
looking.
Definitely that. I think we recorded it right after I did 18 miles on the treadmill, so I'm not too sure how energetic I was for that interview. But yeah.
Might have been mostly me.
Keep Moving Forward. That's the podcast. Keep Moving Forward with Katie Galley, and that's where we are.
Well, I can't wait to find out what we said.
Probably put a link in the show notes, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey.
This has been episode 72 of How Was Your Run Today? With Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Recorded at the WGBH studio at the Boston Public Library. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Special thanks to Eileen Lingley and Tim Morris.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Peter Culler coordinates his with his Marathon Day ensemble. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And join us every Saturday on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with your Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and include a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWIRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWIRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free, and it's easier than trying to conjure up perfect weather for Marathon Day.
For everything else, please go to our website at hwirt.com. Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
You're tapering. Do you have any runs this week?
Yeah, I just did a 4, and I got a 6 tomorrow, and maybe an 8.
Holy mackerel, those are real runs.
There's some still miles
That's
in there.
Still more than I can do.
Keep moving forward there, Brian.
Peter?
Yeah.
Keep moving forward.
All right. That's crazy. Do not be eating an apple while we do this.
I don't know what's happening to you, 'cause you're crazy. I don't know what's happening to you, 'cause you're nuts.
Let's do this. Come on. I have things to do.
Okay.
Peter?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that's what we're doing.
No, don't you put any more apple in that mouth.
You have anything to say?
Brian, there's a rumor going around on the streets.
Mm.
The sat stat chat streets.
The chat.
The chat treats. Seriously, honestly.
All right, let's start the show.
That's what I want. I would love to start soon. So get it all out of your system. Because I'll wait as long as you need to. That's what I say to the people at the play when they're not listening to me when I'm giving notes. And my notes are usually like, hey, be louder.
Always. Hit your marks.
Here's one. No, I'm famous for this one. Use the stage, man. You got nothing but room here.
That's right. They came to see you. Show them something.
Let the people love you, Brian. Mm-hmm.
That is what we say.
I want to do all of it all again. I got to do it all again.
You should. For everything else, please go to our website at www.hwyrt.com. Do we still have to say www?
I don't think it's mandatory, but it's very clear that you did that.
http://. I lost interest already. Hey, Peter.
I don't know. I don't like that funny joke. I don't think that was funny at all. I didn't like it so much. The joke was funny in 98.
Yeah, how is the sibling rivalry?
Made a little bit better.
No rivalry.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, we're teammates all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how long have you known each other?
Since the day he was born.
Yeah.